Three things. Here we go. Three things that are in the world. I talked about this last Sunday night. Bishop talked about it last Sunday morning. But it's amazing that God would keep bringing this back to our remembrance. Why do you think that is? Could it be that maybe really that God is trying to talk to us, that God is trying to speak to us, that we're possibly living in the last days, and what can be shaken will be shaken? There is an enemy, there is an adversary that wants to somehow derail you and distract you from really what's important in life. I'm going to tell you, what's not important in life is not your car. It's not your home. It's not your business. It's not your money. It's not your 401k. It's not your money market plan. But what you do for Christ is the only thing that matters in life. For he that loveth God abides forever. Can I tell you that this world system is committed to at least four major objectives. Number one, fortune. Somebody shout fortune. Number two, fame. Somebody shout fame. Number three, power. Somebody shout power. Number four, pleasure. Somebody shout pleasure. Four major objectives in this life: fortune, fame, power, and pleasure. This world is driven by money. It feeds on materialism. Advertisers spend millions of dollars every year just to create a desire in a man to want more. Never satisfied with what they have. Always the need for more. Technology has advanced, and for those of you that have iPhones, after your 2-year contract and your 2-year agreement, what do they offer you? An upgrade. What do people do between those 2 years? Usually, typically, they go in to an AT&T or whatever carrier you're with to find out if you're eligible for a upgrade. You want an upgrade, even though the phone that you have or the device you have is okay. But there's always a constant push for something new. Fame, just another word for popularity. To be popular, to be in the in crowd, to be liked by all. Fame is the longing to be known, to be a somebody, to be somebody in someone else's life, to fit in and to be known. That's what fame is. And there's a world that seeks fame. There's a world that seeks power. Power is having influence. It's maintaining control over people. And some of you may know of people that love power. I'm going to tell you, you give somebody just a little bit of money and a little bit of power, you will find out their true character. Amen. Pleasure there, at its basic level, pleasure has to do with the fulfilling of one's sensual desires. It's the same mindset that's behind every slogan, and that is, if it feels good, do it. Appease the flesh, no matter the cost. As in the days of Noah, so is the days of our lives. That's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. Money, fame, power, and pleasure. That's what this world is all about. It is the drive for more. Never satisfied, never content. Always wanting what we can't have. Adam and Eve, in the very beginning, they had it all in the garden. Some of you say, man, if I could just be in that garden, if I was Adam or if I was Eve, I would never take the forbidden. I mean, you think about it. They had it all. Everything they could. They didn't have a mortgage payment. They didn't have a car payment. They didn't have an electric payment. They didn't have to worry about solar panels. You know what I'm talking about? There were times before we got solar panels and our bill was getting so high, I was going on to every room, turning off lights and just looking at that meter going crazy, going, we got to turn something off. But they didn't have to worry about that, Brother Jose. They didn't have to worry where their next dollar was going to come from. They didn't have to worry for Friday. What's Friday? Well, it's payday. They didn't have to worry about the 1st or the 15th. They just had everything, but yet they wanted the forbidden. And they sacrificed a world of life, and they traded it with death. Why? Because they were never satisfied. And it was passed down to Cain. Cain had the same problem too, but Cain had the spirit of jealousy. He wasn't happy that his brother got all the accolades and all the compliments, and even God saying, I chose his offering over your offering. And Cain had no idea why his offering was bad. But if he would have just realized that his brother gave the first, and Cain tried to give second best. But Cain had a jealousy problem, because Abel, it seemed like he always got the blessings. He always got the favor. He always got to sing. He always got to preach. He was always in the center of attention, and always he heard, why can't you be more like your brother? And we find that soon or later he took his brother's own life. And the Bible said that his own brother's blood cried from the ground. And because he took his brother's life, he became a vagabond and a wanderer, all because of jealousy. All throughout Scripture, men and women driven by their own lusts. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. David destroyed his generations to come, and his kids and his grandkids and all those that ran through that, all because of the lust of the flesh and the affair of Bathsheba. We know that all through Scripture that you'll find that anytime it's mentioned that David was a man after God's own heart, but it always talked about Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And David threw it all in and sacrificed everything. He was a man after God's own heart, but because of his own selfish lust, all because of the desire and the want for more, he lost his family. I preached years ago on the thought, you can have what you want, but you'll lose what you got. Samson, another example of a man that was favored by God, a man that was so strong that defeated Philistines, but yet he could not control the fleshly desires of Delilah. Can I stop and pause there, moms and dads? It is so vitally important who your kids hang around, who your kids date. Well, you know, she's a good girl and she's a good boy. If they don't share the same morals and the same values and the same convictions, you got to kick them to the curb. I don't care how good they look. I don't care how good they sound. You've got to be very careful to the associations that they keep. King Solomon, the wisest man to have ever lived. People came from all over the world to hear him speak, and yet the Bible lets us know that he turned to idolatry. Why? Because the love of strange women. Judas sold our Savior for 30 pieces of silver. The price of a mere common slave. And he sold it because he wanted more. He wanted money. He wanted riches. He wanted possessions. And he was willing to sell our Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Demas, having loved this present world, had forsaken the gospel and the kingdom. The Apostle Paul warns us of this in 1 Corinthians 1:20. He talks about the wisdom of this world. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, he talks about the spirit of this world. You look it up. In 1 Corinthians 7:31, he talks about the fashion of this world. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 1:4. He talked about the corruption that was in the world and the pollutions of the world. In the second chapter, in verse number 20, when John wrote, "Love not the world," he was not talking about the creation of God. He was not talking about the earth and the stars and the moon. I don't know if you've ever, just on a night, just, you know, when it was clear and you just saw stars and the moon and it was just so, I don't know if you've ever just kind of looked up and just was in awe of it. I mean, there were times as a kid, I would lay down on our grass and just look up at the skies in awe and in wonder of the creation that we have. And when John was talking about love not the world, he was not talking about creation. Was not talking about the trees. He was not talking about the inhabitants of the world. For the Bible said that God so loved the world. God loves people. Somebody shout that. God loves people. God loves his creation. And so if God loved the world and John wrote, "Love not the world," what was John trying to express, Brother Vizcarra, in 1 John chapter 2? What was he talking about of love not the world, Brother James? He wasn't talking about the creation, wasn't talking about the suns and the stars and the moon and all of God's great creation. What was John talking about? Because God said, "I so loved the world." I'll tell you what he was talking about. John was talking, he was saying, don't fall in love with the affairs of this world. Don't fall in love with the activities of this world. Don't fall in love with the world's goods. I know it looks good. I know it feels good. And sometimes I know it even sounds good. But beware of the wisdom of this world. Beware of the spirit of this world. Beware of the fashions of this world. Because there is corruption and there is pollution in this world. You say, "Well, Pastor, it's not that bad." Really? I mean, you take a look at our world and our society. They are out to destroy this world that we live in. They're out to destroy our spiritual liberties. And they call them bondage. Oh, you're under bondage. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go there. You can't be involved in that. You're in bondage. Our spiritual liberties. They take prayer out of school. Because you're in bondage. You're brainwashed when you pray in school. They take the sanctity of marriage out of schools. And they start teaching it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. They take creation out of the schools and they start teaching us about evolution and how we just evolved from a monkey and all the transformations that have happened. I'm telling you, our world is not getting better. Our world is so corrupt and so polluted. There was a bill that was passed last year. That it was okay if you didn't identify with your identity, your gender identity, then you could pick whatever restroom you want to go to. If you thought that you were a man but you were really born a woman, choose whatever restroom you want. If you were a woman and wanted to be a guy, you could go in the men's restroom. I was horrified. Last year, we were at Magic Mountain. And ladies' lines are always crazy wherever you go. But there was a line for the men's, and I was like, what in the world? And so when I got up to the front, there were ladies in the line of the men's restroom. All because they said, we can go where we want to go. I'm going to tell you, right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. And there's got to become a point in your life that you've got to stand up in this untoward generation and look hell in the eye and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like. Label me as a Jesus fanatic if you want to. Call it bondage if you want to. But my Bible says, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. My Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. It also goes on to say, be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. But there is a world that says, you don't have to do that. You don't have to dress like that. You don't have to act. You can do whatever you want. And it's so true. Because what God has given to mankind is the power of choice. You have the power to agree with Pastor tonight, but you also have the power to disagree with Pastor tonight. You have the power to say, I believe it, or you have the power to say, I don't believe it. And you have the power tonight to choose you this day whom you will serve. Because there will come a point and time in life where you're going to make a decision for yourself. You're going to come in the crossroads of life, and mom's not going to be able to help you, and dad's not going to be able to help you, and grandma and grandpa is not going to be able to help you, and pastor's not going to be able to help you. But there's going to come a time where you've got to make up your mind, do I really want to live for God or not? Do I really want to conform with the principles of the kingdom, or do I want to conform with the worldly's thoughts? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm telling you, we've got to take a stand in an unpopular culture. We've got to stand up in this untoward generation and make up our mind like Joshua made up in his mind, that he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Live the way you want to live. But as for me in my house, we're going to put God first. We're going to live for the kingdom. Come on, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I don't care what the world says. I don't care how they act and how they live. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to conform that way. I'm going to live for him. I want to please him. I want to make him happy. You know what I pray tonight is that we would be baptized afresh with a new love for the kingdom and a new love for God and a new love for his church. I just pray that God would help us to take away things that distract us and derail us and bring us back to our knees. I'm telling you, when we're on our knees, we're taller than trees. The only way that you can begin to fight back and combat against the onslaught of hell is you begin to not take a sword, but you begin to do it through the Spirit, and you begin to pray, God, I can't do this by myself. I can't live this way by myself,
But God, I need you to power me. I need you to anoint me. I need you to saturate me, God. I want this. I choose God. I choose heaven. I don't want the things of this world. I want him. If I want him, then there's got to come a time, Brother Miller, that I got to guard. I got to guard this mind. I got to guard. I got to protect this temple. I got to protect what I put my eyes to. I got to protect what I put my ears to. I got to protect with the people that I hang around with, because I am affected by where I am and what I do and how I act. That so old saying is so true, that the birds of the feather, they flock together. If you hang around negative people, it's not going to be long until you become negative. You hang around judgmental people, it's not long until you become judgmental. You hang around people that love to pinpoint and pick out flaws and just start talking about people of what they do, aren't doing right, it's not going to be long till you start doing that. You start hanging around people that love to talk about the pastor and talk against leadership and talk against the kingdom, it won't be long till the time that you're talking about the same stuff. We've got to guard those that we are around. It's the same true that you find somebody that believes in revival and that wants revival, you'll want revival and you'll believe in revival. You find people that say, hey, I want to be holy, I want to be separated, you'll begin to say, I want to be holy, I want to be separated. You find people that say, I'm hungry and thirsty for a move of God, it won't be long till you become hungry and thirsty for a move of God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, we've got to open up our spiritual eyes and we got to say, God, I'm in need of you. I want to connect with you tonight, God. Because I don't want to love this world. I want to love his world. Because there's coming a day that everything we have, it's going to come to an end. Brother Miller, you go so many days, almost 7 days a week, and you're taking bids and you're putting down carpet. But there's coming a day that carpet's not going to be there no more. Thank you, Jesus. And there's coming a time, Brother Calvillo, where that job's no longer going to be there anymore. The cars you drive and the homes you live in, the bank accounts you have, it's not going to be in there anymore, because it's going to be burned up one of these days. But the only thing that's going to last is what you do for the kingdom. That's why God says, lay not up treasures in this world, but lay up treasures in heaven, where rust and moth does not corrupt. I'm telling you, what you do for Christ is the only thing that'll last. I'm telling you, you've got to learn to pray. You've got to learn to put God first and let your family begin to rally around you and say, yeah, Mom, yeah, Dad, I believe it, I want it too. I love my boy dearly. I love you, Tristan. And you can be anything you want. And we had a heart-to-heart talk a couple weeks ago, and I won't share everything that we talked about, but I'm going to tell you that if this cat never becomes the president, never becomes a lawyer or a doctor, never, if he never even graduates from high school, but yet loves God and wants to live for God, he's made Daddy very, very proud. What are you saying, Pastor? Don't do education and don't. No, I'm not saying that. Don't leave this place saying, Pastor says, quit school and quit your job. I'm not saying that. But what I am telling you, you've got to learn to prioritize the things that really matter in life. The things that really don't matter is the things that begin to burn up. But the only thing that matters is you say, God, I'm choosing you and I'm choosing your kingdom. And I want to find people that I can win for you. I want to find people that were lost, and I want to find people that are hurting, and I want to bring them to you, because I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to bring everybody around me there to the kingdom. The greatest thing you could ever do for your daddy is to get it for yourself, not just for me, but you can make up your mind, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what's right. I don't care what everybody else says and everybody else does. I'm going to live for God. Because I cannot afford to play games at this hour and this junction of life. You're wondering why things have happened your way and why you're facing trial after trial. I'm going to tell you, they are spiritual attacks to get you to get that towel and throw it in, to wave that white flag of surrender. That's what the enemy wants to do, wants to beat you over the head and say, see, God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. God's forgot about you. And we get so messed up to think that we've got to accumulate to buy things. We were on our way back to the hotel last night, and we were talking to this couple that there was an individual that sold a multi-million dollar home. And at the sale of the house, he had no money left, because the more that he had, he spent more than he had. I'm telling you, the things that really matter in life is not the homes. We were at a mansion yesterday, and we celebrated Bethany and Stephen uniting together in holy matrimony, and it was my privilege and it was my honor to pray for them, that God would help them, and God would bless them, and God would unite them, and God would go with them, and God would cover them. But as I was around there and that mansion that we were in, it was over 27,000 square feet. And it was probably one of the nicest places I have ever visited. But as I looked in there and I looked around and I even saw everybody that was there, and they're having a great time, and they're doing things that I knew I needed to get away early, because I didn't want that affecting me. But I was just watching them, because they were just living for the moment. And I looked at this beautiful house. Sister Miller, you were there. And Sister Sabrina, good to have you tonight. And I was looking at this wonderful, wonderful home that looks like, if you walk in, they're like, wow, man, they have it all. But something inside my heart, a scripture popped up. It was Mark chapter 8, 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm not pointing my finger to anyone that was there. I'm not ridiculing even the owner, but I'm telling you, there are people that are trying to build their own kingdom at this very moment, and they're so just saturated with the cares of this world and the attractions of this world that their mind is not on what's really important in life. Because I'm going to tell you that heaven and earth shall pass away one day, but God said, my word shall never pass away. And he also ventured to say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if you love God, you'll not love the world. And I've got to make up my mind, Brother Talbot. I got to make up my mind. I want to live for God. I want to pass down the right things. I want my family to be saved. I want my friends to be saved. That's really what I want. That's really what I desire. I want every one of you to be saved. I want every one of you to make it. But I know that it's not my choice. It's your choice. And we've got to come to that realization, Brother Del Toro. You've celebrated 39 years of marriage. How incredible that is. And how wonderful that is. But heaven is going to be a lot more than 39 years. Such a godly couple. Sister Leek has been in this thing for a lot of years. How long you been living for God, Sister Leek? How long you been living for God, going to church? How long you been living for God? You. How long you been going to church? How long you been going to church?
How long?
Mm-hmm.
About 89 years.
89 years. Incredible. Here's the cool thing. How many's been coming here less than a year? How many have been coming here less than a year? Awesome. How long have you been coming here? A few months. He beat you. You're veterans. Does your mom and dad come here? They don't. It's pretty tough. Because my mom and dad, when I started coming to church, my dad, my mom, lived with my mom. She didn't come. It's tough coming by myself. You know what the word says, though? This race that we're involved in, it's not to the fastest nor to the swiftest, but it's the one that endures into the end. Sister Leek's been here for 89 years. You've been here for 2 months. And can I tell you that God loves her just as much as he loves you? It doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've been involved in. It doesn't matter what you did 5 minutes ago. What matters is you're here now, and you could begin to take a different route and a different direction in your life. You could have had curses that have came because of mom and dad, generations and generational cursings, but today you can break the curse and you can have the blessings begin to pour out on your life. You can make up your mind, I'm going to become the spiritual leader in my home. I'm going to become the spiritual patriarch in my home, because there's coming a day someday that God is going to call us home. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day that I get to be with God. I don't know what you want in life. I don't know what your goals are, but my goal, as I've said it many times, is I want to hear God to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in." I want God to be pleased in me. Bubba, I haven't always made the right decisions. There's a God that loves me. There's a God that never gives up on me. And that's why his challenge tonight, to love not the world, is up to us, Brother Del Toro, to say, you know what? I'm not going to love the world. I'm going to love the things of God. I'm going to be involved in the things of God. I'm going to come to Monday night prayer meetings. I'm going to come to Wednesday night Bible studies. I'm going to come to Friday night youth services. I'm going to come to Sunday morning Bible studies and as Sunday school and Sunday night services. I'm going to be involved in God's kingdom nomics. Whenever the doors of the church is open, I'm going to run to it. Brother Ishmael, when you call a work day, I'm going to be there. I may have to sweat, and I may have to physically be exhausted, but I'm going to do everything that I can to be involved in the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's coming a day that I'm going to stand before him. The Bible says, Brother Manuel, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And I'm not here to scare any of you, but I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. And I want to make sure that my 401k is my 401k in heaven. You know what I'm saying? What's American Express's theme? Don't leave home without it. God's theme is don't leave earth without it. That's his insurance plan. That's the insurance that I want, Brother Viscara. I know you're in the insurance business, but I want his insurance claim on me, because I want to go to heaven. And there is coming a day, and what a day that's going to be, when I see my Jesus face to face. And I look on his face and I hold his hand.
Sister Del Toro, I want to ask him one question because I know his answer. I'm going to ask him, why'd you do it? Why'd you die for me? Why'd you take the crown of thorns? Why'd you take all the whips upon your back? Why did you do it? Because I know what his answer is going to be. Because I love you. It meant so much. Even for my son and my daughter. The words that I was excited that they said daddy and they said mama. But I was really excited when they said they loved me. It meant so much to the Father. And I just want to say it back. I love you. And so many times you've told God, I love you. And there's coming a day that you're going to hear that audible voice of him not only wrapping his arms or love around you, but you're going to hear those words, Sister Amy, I love you. You may feel like nobody knows or nobody cares, but there is a God that knows everything about you. There is a God that is concerned about you. There is a God that has everything under control. And he's saying, don't get all bombarded by the cares of this world. Don't be bombarded by all the affairs of this world, but get your eyes on him because he has greater things in store. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? Would you lift your voice with me tonight? Would you just begin to pray, God, help us tonight. Help us to get our focus on you. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us to understand, God, that you've got everything under control. Help me to realize, God, to put you first in everything that I do. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Where's your affections at today? As Colossians said, set your affections on things above. Not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, covetous, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger. Remember what it felt like to be angry all the time? Wrath and malice, blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Oh yeah, there was some communication that came out in your mouth. Was not good. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Sister Linda did that last Sunday night. She was baptized and we put down the old man and rose up the new man. Thank God for the watery graves of baptism. Thank God for repentance where Paul said, I've got to die daily. Thank God for a place where I can make things right and God could change things in my life again. He could change those crooked places and make straight again in my life. Put on the new man, which is renewed the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also to forgive them. Can I just challenge you? If there's unforgiveness in you, get that right. get your spirit right, get your attitude right. Because he said this, and above all things, put on charity. Put on love. Don't tell me how much you love me, but show me how much you love me. Be willing to help somebody. For he said in his word, he that thinks himself spiritual, restore one another. If we could be in the restoring business and not the destroying business, then we put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. There is a God that wants to make you perfect. And the step to that direction, Sister Darlene, is say, you know what? It's the kingdom. It's his glory. It's his will. I'm going to put God first. Why don't we do this at the conclusion of this service? Why don't we step out from where we are? Why don't we line up this front? And why don't we lift up our voices? Lift up our hands? Because I hear Jesus calling to us tonight. I hear him wooing us in the spirit. I hear him challenging us, come up to a new level. I have him shouting a word, set your affections on things above, not on things of this world. Love not the world, but love God. Put God first and put his kingdom first. Would you lift up your voice? Would you lift up your spirit? Would you say, God, help me. Help me to become a better you. Help me to become a better example for others to follow. Help me, God, to have a strong marriage. Help me, God, to have a strong home that's centered around you. Help me show my kids and teach my kids how to pray and how to reach a word. God, let us put you first in everything of our lives. Come on, lift up your voice all across this building. Say, God, I choose you. God, I desire you. Make me better. Make my home better. I choose you, God. I choose you, God. I trust in you. I may not see it. I may not understand it. But I know that all things work together for the good. Oh, come on. Raise your hands. Raise your voice. Oh, what a Savior. Yes. Hallelujah. I choose you. Come on. I feel him here. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you, God. Oh, my heart. Oh, my soul. Oh, my strength. Oh, my mind. I give. I give. I give to you. Thank you.